Our scripture readings this morning, we have two. The first one is the 67th Psalm. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine on us, so that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you. God, may all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you. God, may all the peoples praise you. The land yields its harvest. God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still, so that all the ends on the earth will fear him. Our second reading is from John chapter 14, verses 23 through 29. Jesus replied, "Anyone who loves me will obey my teachings. My Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teachings. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away, and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now, before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe me." May God bless these words, for these are God's words for God's people. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, come and teach us. Be with us. Journey beside us in this war-torn world. Bring us the teachings and the confidence to step up and come alongside those who need peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let us be afraid, for we are your peace givers. We are your vessels. Amen. Well, thank you for letting me take the week off last week, and I hear Kathy did a bang-up job, and she's going to take my job. And that's okay. I can't think of a better person to take my job than Kathy. Thank you, Kathy, for filling in, though. I sure appreciate it. So I could go with my daughter to Costa Rica. We were in Timbuktu, 2 hours from the airport on dirt roads into the jungle and then out to the coast, and in a little resort that had about 17 villas with the birds and the macaws and the monkeys and the snakes and the lizards and a nice beach. So we rested. That is where my soul is happiest, on a beach or in northern Michigan. And I know that's just because that's where I'm from. But when I come into those spaces, I just feel the presence of the Holy Spirit with me. And I'm sure you also have places like that that speak to you that way. About today's scripture, the professor Elizabeth Johnson writes this: "The passage this morning from John is part of Jesus' farewell discourse to his disciples on the night before his death. A discourse punctuated by the anxious questions of his disciples about his impending departure. First Peter, and then Thomas, and then Philip, and then Judas. Not Judas Iscariot, but the other Judas, asks for clarification about what Jesus is actually telling them. Jesus has promised not to leave his disciples orphaned. He has promised to send another advocate that he names for the first time in the Bible, the Spirit of Truth, or the Holy Spirit, who will be with them forever and continue the work that he has begun. Jesus tells his disciples that though the world will no longer see him, they themselves will be able to see him because he will reveal himself to them. And then Judas asks, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? And our passage began with Jesus' response to this question, because maybe Judas expected Jesus to give them some kind of secret code or knock or knowledge that would give them access to Jesus. But that's not what Jesus told them exactly. And you know, the interesting thing is the Bible never tells us how a line was spoken. You know, when you read a novel and they say, she said it softly, or he said it sternly or with anger in his voice. We don't ever get those cues when we read the Bible. We don't know what the emotion was, and we're left to imagine how these words were actually delivered. So in this farewell address, we often assume that Jesus was probably speaking confidently and strongly and bravely. But what if he'd just seen a disciple flee to betray him? He just told another disciple he's going to deny him. What if Jesus' tone was more sorrowful or tired? You know, the way we feel at the end of a long day. Oh. I mean, Jesus had been through a long week, ridden into Jerusalem triumphantly, had taught and healed and taught and healed, and they knew he was in conflict with the authorities. Maybe his tone was a little bit more tired than confident. But he continued to speak and teach right up to the very last, and he speaks to them of this advocate, this Holy Spirit. It comes from the Greek word paraclete. And what paraclete means is literally someone who comes along beside you. The Holy Spirit is someone who comes along beside you, embeds in you, to be with you, called along beside. So the Holy Spirit, Jesus tells these sad disciples, will walk beside you just as I did. The Holy Spirit will fulfill this teaching role. The whole advocate will bring to you peace. The advocate will bring to you comfort so that you will carry on your work without feeling lonely or feeling abandoned. And as a result, you can bring peace and comfort to everyone you walk beside. Maybe he didn't sound tired. Maybe he just brought presence as he demonstrated walking beside those disciples. I'm not sure what that sounds like or how you would describe that. But it was written this way. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. I think Jesus was trying to convey on that night something his disciples barely grasped. Something akin to a Jewish tradition called shalom. Well, that's a traditional Hebrew greeting. But shalom signals more than hello or goodbye. Shalom means the absence of conflict. It's a profound and holistic sense of well-being. It's a kind of peace the world cannot give. It comes only from God. It's the kind of peace that Jesus spoke of that accompanies the Holy Spirit. And It's the kind of peace Jesus breathes on his disciples as he sends them out on their mission. I'm not really sure the disciples felt so peaceful. I mean, they've run and hid in this upper room. They're afraid for the result of that might come from the authorities being so unhappy with Jesus. But Jesus is trying to tell them, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let it affect your spirit. Yes, I know Judas ran away from the table. Yes, I know Peter's going to deny me. But remember the excitement we experienced when we entered the city. Remember the teaching and the training we've done. I know you're fully aware of the negatives of the authorities and the Roman Empire and the people and the authorities from the temple. But try to maintain that peace. You know, we're not terribly different from that Roman Empire today, are we? What was outside the doors of that upper room isn't so different. As a community and as a country, our discourse is often riddled with nasty and insensitive words and intonations. Our primary elections were a perfect example. They were rife with advertisements and negativity. A bringer of peace and well-being, kind of few and far between some days in our American society. So who is Jesus called to be those bringers, those bearers, those coming along beside folks? The world has many zones of violence, predominantly stoked to increase power or influence or monetary value. The Ukraine, the Sudan, Libya, Yemen, Syria. Who's standing beside these people? Who's bringing them a sense of peace? Places where political and religious and cultural strife occur, North Korea, Guatemala, Afghanistan, Ethiopia, and America. Battles ensue about what group should control the rights of other groups. How will the Holy Spirit feed their consciences? You know, we often deny the needs or the wants of a particular group of people because their customs or skin color or ethnicity, and we don't always do it on purpose. But it breaks my heart to read the stories about what happened to the American Indian children at the retraining schools that's been in the news lately. It didn't bring peace, it didn't bring love, it didn't bring the Holy Spirit. What did Jesus say? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. I gave my peace to you. You are the caretakers of that flame. At a time when the disciples were most fearful, they were called to bring peace alongside others. Just as the Holy Spirit would continue to dwell with them and with us. You know, we're all called to live in peace. We're all taught, like the disciples, to continue our work. And just like the disciples, we're fearful about it. But as Christians, we are called to abide in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. We are then called to encourage others to abide in that and replicate that peace that can come with it. We're called to come alongside and bring comfort and peace and well-being. It's what the Holy Spirit does for us and what we are asked to do for others. And so we ask again and we pray again, come, Holy Spirit, come and teach us, be with us, journey beside us in this war-torn world. Bring us the teachings and the confidence to step up and come alongside those who need peace. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let us be afraid, for we are your peace givers. We are your vessels. Amen. And shalom.